368. I heard the Savior say, "Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy strength and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. And when before the throne I stand incomplete, I'll lay my trophies down, all down at Jesus' feet. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain, and he washed it white as snow." According to a book that Sandy bought me, 366 Inspiring Hymn Stories, this hymn was written by a woman by the name of Alvina Hall. And I think it speaks very pointedly to a very, very basic truth. It's really the key of all of Christianity. Jesus paid it all. Interesting story is told in this book about how Miss Hall wrote these words one Sunday morning while seated in the choir loft of a Methodist church in Baltimore, Maryland, supposedly listening to a sermon by her preacher. But as occasionally happens, she wasn't. She was listening to the thoughts that he expressed, and it took her mind off. And she sat down and on the inside of her hymnal wrote these words down while she was listening to that sermon. When she gave it to the preacher, he read it over and remembered that his organist, John Grape, you'll notice his name wrote the music, had written a new tune that he called "All to Jesus I Owe." And the words fit the song perfectly. First published in 1874. So it's been around a while. But let's notice the words. Let's think about the thoughts that are there for us. He tells us our strength indeed is small. We sometimes need to be told that, because we can get overly confident in ourselves. We can get to where we don't want to listen. We think we know. But our strength indeed is small. Romans, the 5th chapter, in verse number 6, Paul tells us that while we were yet without strength, Christ died for us. We need to remember and meditate upon the fact our strength indeed is small when we consider the enemy that we fight. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 12 and 13 tell us very plainly, we are unable to stand before Satan without God on our side. We are going to lose that battle. We're not going to be able to be the people that we want to be, let alone the people God wants us to be, if we're not what God has told us that we need to be. And that's trusting in Him. We need to know we can depend upon Him. I mean, Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse number 13, you remember what Paul said? I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. He didn't say, I can do all things. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Again, our strength is weak. Our strength indeed is small. And we can do nothing. You remember the parable or story that Jesus tells about the vine and the branches in John 15? Think about what he said. If the branch is separated from the vine, he tells us we can do nothing. But with a branch in the vine, we can produce the fruit that we're supposed to do. Our strength indeed is small. We need to be tapped into that vine. Ephesians, the 2nd chapter in verse 12, tells us we have no hope without Christ. None whatsoever. We need to know and to understand that the strength that we have is a strength that comes from God Almighty and not from ourselves. And go back and look at the song again. The Savior said, your strength indeed is weak, child, or small, child of weakness, watch and pray. He's talking about us as Christians. And he describes us as a child of weakness. And we need to watch and pray. Matthew 25, verse 13 tells us that we need to watch for the second coming. We need to be ready for Jesus to come again. We need to be ready for that marvelous day when he comes from heaven in his mighty angels. Just think of the picture that that is. That the picture that that ought to give us. We're to watch for that. Are you ready for that second coming? We're told in Matthew, the 6th chapter, that we need to pray for forgiveness. That we need to make sure, Matthew 6 and verse number 12 tells us, Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We need to, as children of weakness, watch and pray. Watch and pray for the second coming. Watch and pray for the forgiveness of our sins. Recognizing we can't get rid of those sins. They only can be forgiven from God. Matthew 26, verse 41, tells us that we should know and understand that the strength that we have is not going to get the job done because our flesh is weak. Now, our spirit needs to be strong. But our flesh can be overcome if we're not watching and praying. If we're not recognizing that we are children of weakness. And then he tells us in the next phrase of this that find in me thine all in all. And that's the Savior speaking to us. Jesus tells us everything we need. We can find in the Father everything that we need. We do that by studying His Word. 1 Timothy 2 and verse number 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the work of God. Give diligence, some translations say. We need to put that trust and that diligence to work to find what Peter describes in 2 Peter the 1st chapter and verse number 3 as all things that pertain to life and godliness. It's all found in Him. But I don't need to tell you, too many times people look in the wrong places to find the strength that they need. They look to the wisdom of the world, for example. We were talking about that in our Bible class. But you know what God said about the wisdom of the world? In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 19, it says, it's written, I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? But people still go there. But the Savior tells us in this song, find in me your all in all. Some people look within themselves and think they've got the wisdom and the knowledge and the ability to figure out their lives. Jeremiah, the 10th chapter, in verse number 23, tells us very plainly, it's not a man that walketh to direct his own steps. Lived quite a few years on this earth, and I can guarantee that that's true. Every time you try, you're going to end up making a mess out of it. If we don't go to Him for the knowledge that we need to all look to Him. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, in verse number 2, tells us that the place to find our all in all is the book of Hebrews. Is Jesus, as we're told in Hebrews 12 and verse number 2. looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down on the right hand of God. He tells us in verse 1, we are running a race. We're living a life here on this earth, and the only way we're going to live that life and be what God wants us to be is to look to him, who's the author and the finisher of our faith, who suffered for us, enduring the cross. Matter of fact, not only suffered for us, he suffered because of us. But he despised the shame of it. But he did it. He did it. You know, all religion is sometimes described by two words, or two letters, I should say, and that's D-O. Do. But the gospel is four letters. D-O-N-E. And that's done. Our job is to do. The gospel is done. It's over with. It's there for us. It's complete. He is the place in which we can find all in all. Now, as we notice in the second stanza, Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots. There's nothing good that I can bring. There's nothing that I can do. I'm saved by grace, Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 8 and 9. It's not because of our goodness. Now, we need to know, James 2, and verses 24 and 26 says that faith without works is dead. It says it twice. Only reason God says anything twice is because he wants to make the emphasis of it. But we are saved by grace. What it means where we're saved by grace is God has given us an opportunity to come to him. And without that opportunity, folks, we're lost. We're lost. I have no right to go to God and say, hey, you owe me. I have been so good. I've done so much for so many people that I deserve. It's because God has given us that opportunity. Romans, the sixth chapter, and verse number 17 said, God be thanked. Though you were servants of sin, you've obeyed from the heart that doctrine which was delivered you. Not that doctrine that you had the right to, that you could demand, but it was a doctrine that was delivered to you. It was a doctrine that was given to you. It's the grace of God that we have that opportunity. Stay in that same chapter and drop down to verse 23, and we find that this salvation is something that can't be bought. It's only through his power that can melt the hearts of stone, as the text says in the song. 6:23 said, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We need to understand. We have to be washed in the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 7 and verse number 14. There is no other way but through him. We find his power, not our power. Now let's notice in the last stanza that almost terrifying statement. When we stand before the throne, because we are going to stand before the throne, we are going to be judged. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 10 tells us very plainly that every one of us are going to stand before the throne of God, stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and there we're going to give an answer. Said we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it's good or bad. We're going to stand there. And as the song says, when I, before the throne I stand, in him complete. I don't need to fear standing before that throne because I'm going to be there complete. But folks, we need to know that every tongue is going to confess Jesus, Romans 14, 10 through 12. Every eye will see him, Revelation 1 and verse number 7. There's no one going to escape. Not you, not me, not our loved ones, not our friends. We need to know that we're going to stand before him. And we need to be ready. We need to be complete. And you think about that for a moment. Complete. Jana does electronic record keeping at work. And when she gets more than what she can get done during the day, it starts to build up. And you get behind. You ever get behind in your work and you have to put in extra work? And what an exhilarating feeling it is when it's complete. When you're caught up again. When you can go to work the next morning and, as she said, Dad, my desk is clear. I haven't seen it clear in months. But what a wonderful feeling that is. In him, we can be complete. 1 John 5 and verse number 13 says, if we live as he commands, we'll be complete and we'll have salvation. 1 John 5 and verse 13. These things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Now listen close to what he says. That you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. We can be complete. We can know that we have eternal life. We can know that we have salvation. We can know that we're right in the sight of God. In him, we can be complete. We don't have to wonder where we're going to spend salvation. You know, it's a tragic thing to go through life always wondering whether you're saved. I don't think God wants us to do that. It's not arrogant when somebody asks, are you saved? But, you know, most of the time folks say, well, I don't know. I hope so. I think so. We'll have to see on the judgment day. God, through this passage, tells us, you may know that you have eternal life. How? By obeying the things that are written to you that are you saved? Oh, most of our denominational friends will say, oh yes, absolutely I know I'm saved. I've prayed the sinner's prayer. I've come before the altar. I've done all the things that man has said that you have to do to be saved. But so many times, our brothers and sisters won't say that. I know I'm saved. And we wonder why we don't have the joy that we spoke about this morning. I can know that I'm saved. Look, if you will, in Matthew, the 25th chapter, and I'm going to be looking in verse 34 in particular, talking about the judgment day. God's going to say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The kingdom is there, and it's prepared for who? Those on his right hand. Those who have been obedient. Those who have listened to the word. Those who can know they're saved. Because they've obeyed the word. Now tonight we've seen that the Savior tells us that our strength indeed is small. And I think we can all say amen to that. We've seen that we're to watch and pray and find in Him our all in all. We've seen that nothing good have we that could buy His grace. Nothing. We'll wash our garments in the blood of the Lamb. But before the throne, we'll stand complete. We'll stand complete because Jesus died our souls to save. And our lips still sing that. That's why the chorus is here for this song. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Are you white as snow tonight? Jesus wants to wash stains out of your life. And when He does, He has promised us salvation. Are we willing to accept it? Are we willing to do the things that we need to do in order to have that salvation? Like I said, religion can be summed up in two words, and that's two letters, the word do. Because the gospel is done. It's not going to change. It's there for us to obey. Have you obeyed? Can we help? Please, give us that opportunity as we stand and are led right now.